Succession number 20620, Reel 6.
William Tichard, Reel 6. So carry on with your story, your exciting story.
Right. Walking down the road looking for my unit. Anyway, them days had good eyesight, so when he got so far, I knew, if it had been German, I could have dove into the forest or something like that, but I knew it was where I was. Anyhow, it was a staff car. And this officer got out and he come toward me and said, "What are you doing here out on your own like this? Nowhere." I said, "Well," I said, I explained the story to him, what had happened, you know. I said, "The officers maybe sent me back to my unit." I said, "And being honest with you," I said, "I've no clue where I'm going." So he said, "Well, where's your unit? What's your unit?" So I told him. He said, "Well, you're lucky." He said, "It's 300-400 yards up the road on the right." I said, "Lovely." He said, "Now go on." He said, get off." He said, "Make sure you get back. Make haste." Anyhow, I got back, and the sergeant major's waiting for me, of course. Got a little bit of a rollicking there. He said, "What happened?" So I told him. "Oh, well, you'll have to leave it at that." He said, "Have you had anything to eat?" I said, "No." He said, "Right, go to the cook house and report there." He said, "And tell him I've sent you, give you something to eat." And that was that.
Do you know the name of the officer who sent you back?
I'm not sure. It was Lieutenant Williams. I'm sure it's Lieutenant Williams. Because he's the one, I think, that he tried to blame. I must say, this should be off record, although it's on record, I believe, that they tried to blame him for that ambush.
Which ambush was that?
There was an ambush, I just forget where it was. I think it was two guns was... two guns was supposed to go through this place, this map reference, what this higher officer had given to this Lieutenant Williams. Now, I didn't know nothing about it, but the chap that's died from Shrewsbury, he was in it, and he told me all about it. And he said, "Bill," he said, "that's a load of rubbish about Lieutenant Williams leading them into that ambush. It was wrong." He said, "What it was," he said, "the officer gave them a map reference to go to. And this Lieutenant Williams pointed out and he said, that map reference, what I can see, is nowhere. He said, you do as I tell you. Not what you tell me. I give it you, you take it." And that's how they got ambushed. The Germans ambushed them. And I think there was... Driver King got killed. A Batman got killed. That's Mudger Smith I mentioned to you, Bomber. He was a carrier driver. He got wounded. Bill was all right. Sergeant Rimmer. He was a sergeant of one gun. He got killed. And one got took. Prisoner of war. Well, he took him prisoner, but he managed to escape and got back to his unit. And they tried to blame that Lieutenant Williams for it. And I'm not sure whether he got badly wounded or got killed. I'm not really badly wounded, I don't know, can't think.
Right. So back to the Reichswald. You went in and came out again.
Yeah. And that's... I don't know how the infantry got through there. It was absolutely thick.
What was the ground like?
Well, not much ground there. It was all trees. You know, that really loaded trees close to, you know. And how they got through, I don't know. But it must have been terrible for them infantry fellas. It must have been a terrible job to get through there. Anyhow, of course, we didn't have to go through the trees because we wouldn't have got through anyway. We just followed the main road. And if you come to any open spaces where we was wanted, then we dive into it and just put a barrage where you could, where it was convenient. You had to put it where it was convenient.
So did you see any engagements with the Germans at all there?
No, not really. That's the only time I really seen the front line was, as I said, when I went and mended that line and got in that orchard, and we stayed there a bit, and you could see right across this field, from the orchard right across the field, about 300 or 400 yards where the Germans were.
When you came out of the Reichswald, the other side?
Then we came out of there, and then that's when we went through to Germany then. That's as far as I can remember, really.
With much opposition, or?
Not a great deal, no. Not really. Not as much as what came up with when he come to, up against Gok. I believe that was a hard, hard battle, I believe. I know we threw some ammunition down over there. Really threw, because they reckon the crack panzers was in there, and the Welsh Fusiliers went up against them, and, you know, they did a real good job, but they lost a lot of men. And that's how they got the famous name they did.
So morale was pretty good, was it, all the time?
I mean, all the way through, I thought, well, myself, what I've seen, I thought morale was, it was great.
They say there's not many atheists in a battle. Did people turn to religion?
I think it was possible. I think it was possible, yeah. Could have been, yeah. Because when you come to a sticky situation, the first thing they did was got down on their knees, you know, so that was it, you know.
And of course there would always be services when there were burials, wouldn't
there? I should imagine so. I've never seen any. As I say, the only funeral service I went to was after the war finished, and the Rhine had this Bailey Bridge across. The war had finished, had just finished then. And one of our lads' driver was bringing these new trucks over. Anderson, I think his name was Anderson or Anderson. And it just got to the far side, I believe, and it collapsed. And the weight, of course, he tried to get out, I believe. And instead of staying where he was, I believe he opened the door. Well, them big three tonners, the doors, when you open them, wham, they open, and the weight turned the truck over, and then he went and he drowned. And he went all through the war, and then go like that. And I was pole bearer for him. I had some photographs somewhere of that funeral, but that was the only one. And the party was there, I think, yeah. The party was at that one, yeah. You know, can't think. Was it Hartley? I think his name was Hartley.
I think it was.
I'm sure his name was Reverend Hartley.
Right. What sort of a man was he?
Only, not very big, but he was a smashing bloke.
Yeah. What sort of age?
For me, we all like, could be in his 30s, 35, something like that.
Did you come across any cases of shell shock?
One. Only ever seen one. See, you're bringing back things, you know, what I'm forgetting. One time we went up with the infantry again to lay this line, and the infantry was lying alongside this big building, waiting for the word to go, like, you know. And we was to go with them to lay the line. Excuse me.
That's right.
Not so hot for a month after this. And anyway, I was waiting to go. Me and my mates had the line, and these infantry lads was lined up, you know. And there, them, I think there, you had to have tension, I think. You could see on the faces, you know, ready to go in. I don't know, I'm only surmising. It must have been terrible, you know, to line up alongside of a building waiting for the orders to go in. Anyway, we was waiting. All of a sudden, one of these lads run out. Doolally went. He must have broke waiting. Down he went. Anyway, carted him away. Some said he was a bloody coward or something. I don't know. But it was terrible to see, you know. Oh yeah. Terrible.
Yeah. I mean,
that's why I think in the First World War, that's a lot of that went on, and they got had up for desertion. And I don't believe it. I don't believe it to this day.
Did you hear of any cases of self-inflicted wounds?
Pardon?
Did you hear of any cases of self-inflicted wounds?
No.
Or desertion?
No.
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 So you were eventually you end up in Mönchengladbach.
Yeah. And
so what was life like there? I mean, the war was over.
Not much really. No, not really. It didn't seem much like, because we was like on the outskirts, Mönchengladbach, and all we did was well, you couldn't do nothing. It was just a matter of doing your duties, guard duties, and all that. Then I think I had roughly about 6 months, I think, to go, and I found out that one or two was being posted. So I found out that my mate is on a photograph in there with me, Ray Digger. And I found out after I came out of the army when I met him. I said, "What happened to you?" He said, "When I went, you know, when, what's the name?" He said, "I got posted to India." I said, "Posted to India?" He said, "How did you go to bloody India?" I said, "And I didn't." I said, "No," I said, "you know what they did with me? They sent me on a 6-week course for a military policeman." So I went on a course for a military policeman.
What, in Mönchengladbach?
Just outside Mönchengladbach. So I went through all the rigmarole of police work, you know, what policemen do, you know, these red caps, what we call them. Went through all that, passed everything, lovely, smashing. Got all my uniform, looked smart, red cap on. I never had a photograph of that. I'd have been pleased if you had done. And had a passing out parade. So, no, it was more than 6 weeks. It was longer. It was longer. It was about 8-9 weeks. Anyway, we had this passing out parade. All nice and smart there. And this big noise, you know, coming along. And what's your name, young fella? Told him, he said, I said, "You passed out all right, very good." I said, "Yeah." I said, "I'm pleased with that." Because you'd learn your all courtroom work and that, you know. And he said, "And how long have you got to go?" I said, "Well," I said, "I think I've got about 4 or 5 months." Well, he said, "That's you finished and get back to your unit." Just like that. So that was me finished as a red cap. I had to come back to my own unit again at Mönchengladbach. So I got back to the unit, reported to my unit, and they said, "What's up?" I said, "Oh," so they threw me out at red caps, they said. They said, "Because I've only got 5 months to do." So I said, "Oh, what? I don't know what we're going to do." He said, "We thought we'd got rid of you." I said, "Oh," I said, "well, I'm back again." He said, "I tell you what," he said, "why have you only got a short time to do?" He said, "Go in the MOT section." He said, "Look after motorbikes in there." So that was the last job I had, looking after motorbikes.
Yeah. So, going back to the end of the war, I mean, you obviously heard about the dropping of the bombs at Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
No, we didn't hear anything like that. No. I think, you know, information wasn't very clever, really, down to the nitty-gritty, like, you know, the gunners or the privates or whatever, you know. I think if the big noise got to know about it, they just spread it amongst themselves. And I suppose people sweat on any rumours getting out and spreading. Mm. But
you heard about the Japan capitulating?
That's right, yeah. Yeah.
Did you celebrate then?
No, don't even remember celebrating VE Day or anything. And that's being honest, as I'm sat here. Mm. Never. I just want to say, all them in England had a good time on me.
So, when your demobilisation came, how was that conducted? Did you get called by an officer to?
You call in, give them your papers.
Was this in Mönchengladbach?
And they said they'd be going back to England for demobilisation, and they sent me to York.
Whereabouts in York did you go?
In York itself.
There
must have been a big holding place, like a big warehouse, because we all went in. I can still see this. It's plain as a pike staff now. We all went into this like a big warehouse, and a table in the middle of the. In the middle of the warehouse. It looked out of place, really. Anyhow, I was all stood round this table, and this officer came out, got on top of the table. He said, "Now then, lads," he said, "you're all being demobbed, are you?" So I said, "Yeah, let's get out." You know, anyway, he said, "Now, what the idea of this is we're asking if you'd like to volunteer to stay on. Resign." So everybody looking at one another and come up with all these ideas what was going to happen, and he had these beautiful white sheets in his hand. He said, "Do you want to get white sheets on your beds and everything, you know?" No thanks, I had enough. And that was it.
No one joined up, nobody bothered.
And I was in Mönchengladbach. I wrote a letter to my sister, and I got a letter back. It was off Flossie there, but my sister had asked her to write back because she had somebody else to write to, and she said to Bet, "Would you write to our Bill for me, answer this letter?" And she said, "I don't know your Bill, how can I answer a letter like that?" So anyway, she finally volunteered, if you like to put it that road. And she sent me a lovely letter, and that was
in the ATS.
She was in the ATS.
Yeah.
And that's 54 years ago now.
Well done.
And it's been brilliant.
Yeah.
Anyway, we went into...
Did they give you a demob suit?
Oh, then he was marched into another place, and all these sections marked off, suits, macs, tilbys, shoes, and he just went through and give you a suit, pinstripe, which is very popular these days, I believe, but it looked flaming awful, pinstripe, and a trilby, mind you. Oh, and a mac. Anyway, everything went all right, and then you had to make your own way home. They give you a traveller's ticket, like, you know, traveller's warrant for going home, and that was finished. But at the same time, you was put on Z reserve, right? Now, I was put on Z reserve, that was in case anything came up, I was liable to call back. And that's the way they did it.
Did you ever get called back?
Yes, but fortunately, I had a lot of stomach trouble. I went to Wigan for my medical. They examined me and he said, no way, that's it, you're finished. Otherwise, I'd have gone for a fortnight's training back with the lads. And, you know, I was upset a bit really. I thought I could have met the lads then, you know. But it was what had to be. And that was me finished.
Did they mention any pensions or payments or give you any money when you finished?
Not only the... Pardon? What do you call it? I can't think of the word. It's like a lump sum. I think I got £90. Something like that. £90 I think I got. Something like that. And I spent a lot in one day.
What did you spend it on?
Went out to Bellevue. And four of us. Me, Bet, my sister and my cousin. And had the time of his life and I spent every penny. And she had a few, one or two. Oh, you had a few quid and all, didn't you? Spent yours and all, didn't we? And that was it. Then we settled down to life, civilian life. It was hard at first.
What
I couldn't,
was hard about it?
Couldn't settle. Couldn't settle proper. I went back to my job, which they had to give you back.
And your job was?
I was in a sawmill, timber mill. And I went back there and a bit unsettled. So I went to Rylands, I think, from there, wasn't it? Yeah. I went to Rylands from there.
William Titchard, Reel 8.
8?
Is it?
I thought it was 6.
William Titchard, Reel 6. Right, so we had got to the fact that you were demobilised. You'd gone back to work at the sawmill, but you hadn't really settled there.
No, so I went back.
What did you miss about the army?
Comradeship. You know, being amongst your mates and one thing and another, you know. That's what I say, I tried so hard to find different ones. And as I say, I found 1, 2, 3, 4. One's died since, as I say, he was from Shrewsbury. He'd give me all these things here. He made all them. He was brilliant making them things like that. And he used to send them to me, you know.
And you stayed in touch with them?
I visited him once and he made me stay a week and it was brilliant. And he used to come every morning to me in bed and he used to say, gunfire up Bill, a cup of tea in bed, and he wouldn't have it any other road. I was devastated when I heard he died, you know, because last time I seen him he was, you know, look good.
So how long did you stay at the sawmill then?
Oh, it was only a matter of maybe 3 or 4 months. And then I went to where my father worked at Rylands.
What do they do?
Well, they do everything there from, you know, pin to an elephant. They made everything there. Did a lot of war work there, really. Netting for submarines and one thing or another. And wire ropes for bridges and one thing, everything like that. And yeah, I worked there a bit. Then I got fed up with that. And I went to the water department, didn't I? I went on the corporation on the water department. I lasted on there 9 years. And I enjoyed them 9 years because I worked myself up from being what some people call navvies. And I worked myself up to being like second in command of a gang. Because we used to put all your water mains in. Not sewage. Some people think it's sewage. We put water mains in for your drinking water on these new building sites and that. We put the water in. If any leaks in the mains, we had to go and repair them and all that.
So you settled that?
I settled that for 9 years. Then it was only through one of my mates that really upset me, you know, because I never faced anything like this in the army as what I faced with these lads that I was in charge of. And it was an important job, and they let me down. They went in the pub. They liked the beer. And we was crossing the main road. And you do, in the main road, you do half, fill it in, and do another half. It was halfway across. And it was dinner time, like, but at the same time, they should have helped me to help themselves by, say, two going in, two staying out with me. Anyway, sat there in like a, this canvas hut, and two bosses came up in the van. The bosses, like, you know, the line bosses. So they said to me, he said, "What are you doing, Bill?" So I said, "Well," he said, "Where's your gang?" I said, "Oh," I said, "try and cover up for them again." I said, "Oh, they've just gone for have a pint and come back again." I said, "All just gone." They said, "Okay." So they went, and I seen them get in the van, sit down, but I didn't see it drive off. And, you know, next thing he came back again. Well, the lads hadn't come back then. So he said to me, he said, "Now listen here." He said, "You're trying to take Cam back for them that's in that pub up there, aren't you?" I said, "No, not really." You know, I was making a liar of myself, you know, which was beyond me. So he said, "Right, that's it. I'll have you when I'll see you when you get back to the depot." Anyway, we finished the job, like, the driver that picks us up in his truck to put all the tackle on, he was a union man. So we're going home and he's driving along, and I'm sat in front with this chap that did all the shouting about, you know, one thing or another. He said, you told the bosses about us being in the pub and one thing or another. I said, "I didn't." I said, "I wouldn't do a thing like that on you." I said, "I tried to cover up for you." I said, "But it stood out like a sore thumb what had happened and where you was." Of course, the union man, the truck driver, the wagon driver, he turned around and he said, "Now you listen here, to this chap." He said, "Shut up," or he said, "I'll have you in front of the union for what you've just said to that lad." He said, "I know that lad wouldn't do that." Anyway, we got back, I got chewed up over it, and with that, I went back to where I worked before, Rylands's, and I stayed there. And I finished there.
Yeah. What mental effects do you think the war's had on you?
Oh, I don't know. Not really, I don't think. Mm. Not really. Mm. No. Not like some people. You know, you get some people who say, "Oh, you're traumatised on certain things, you know, have to send for rehabilitation." You know, I think, well, that's a bit ridiculous, really, for what they've done. If anybody wanted rehabilitating for me, it was them that was in Europe fighting for what they went through. Mm. I think they're the people that should have gone for rehabilitation, and you didn't hear of many going for it. I never heard of any more going for them. Not what I knew anyway. Mm.
What physical effects do you think the war had on you?
Not a lot, really, because, as I say, you were made to be kept fit. Mm. And if you wasn't fit, it would have tried to kill you. Mm. You'd have dropped dead. So that's why they emphasised fitness. Mm.
Do you think that's stayed with you?
Definitely, yeah. Mm. Yeah. Mm. Even during the war, you did a lot of hard, laborious work, which kept you on your toes and kept you fit.
I mean, you trained as a military policeman, didn't you, briefly? What did you think of the military police when you were a serving soldier?
Outside, bit naughty. But, as I said to you, over there, they were brilliant. Because they had a hard job to do, mapping out, putting signposts up for which way the troops went. Mm. and they were the ones that did it, the CMPs, and they were brilliant.
What did you think of them when you were training in England?